name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Praise the Lord. The youth, if you'd like, you could head upstairs at this time. Everybody else, you could be seated at this time. Man, I don't know about you, but it is not easy getting warm and staying warm. I was checking that thermostat. I'm like, I got to keep cranking that thing up. But I haven't got too crazy of a electric bill yet, or gas bill, so all is good right now until maybe next month, but see what happens when we get that next utility bill. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about New Year's resolutions, and there's a few of them that are very important, and a lot of times we start out with resolutions, and we start out with a purpose to change and get to do some things and to have a fresh outlook on life, have a fresh outlook on some goals that we may set for ourselves. Maybe you set out last year to set some goals to do some things to maybe get more physically fit, financially fit, go on one of these diets, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes, but there's something that I want to kind of share with you tonight and my mind and my heart and how I think towards coming before you or any time when I get in front of the youth and speaking, whether it's for a 30-second sermon when I open the service on a Sunday morning or being here on a Wednesday night. We're family here, and I just want to kind of share my thoughts and get you to know how I think. I love the story in it's in Numbers 22 and 6, and I got this in the NLT version, and it's where Balak summons Balaam, and he gets him to start to talk. He goes, "I want you to say some things bad about God's people, because I know that when you do say something, your word is holds some weight to it, because if you bless somebody, I know that they're going to be blessed. If you curse somebody, I know that they're not things aren't going to go well for them." And this is the verse in Numbers 22. It says, "Please come and curse the people for me, because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I'll be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. And I know that blessings fall upon any people you bless, and curses fall upon people you curse." And finally, Balak, he meets, Balaam meets Balak. Not until he encounters a talking donkey and an angel with a sword in his hand ready to take him out for going a little bit too far. And his response in verse 38 is, look, now that I have come, but have no power to say whatever I want, and will speak only the message that God's put in my mouth. And I'm here tonight to tell you that I don't want to speak anything, and I don't want to add or take away anything tonight that God doesn't put in my mouth or put in my mind or in my heart to say to you tonight or any other night. Whether it's a 30-second sermon or I don't know how long God has for me to say what I need to say tonight. I pray, Lord, that he would touch it, that he would multiply it, just as he did the bread that he broke. This is bread. I believe this is necessary. I believe somebody needs to be encouraged tonight with what I have to say, because I prayed fervently and I prayed and fasted, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to say to your people here tonight? And being said that, I want you to go back to Numbers 22 and 6. And it says, this is what Balaam said. And this is a quote from the enemy of God's people. They are too powerful for me. Word for word. I want to encourage you, everyone here tonight, you are too powerful for the enemy. I don't care what he has done to try to frazzle you, to try to get you to be beside yourself, to get you to not think right, to get you to fumble the words, to try to get out of your mouth, to try to get you to say some things you might regret. The enemy of God's people, the quote says, they are too strong for me. God is more for us than the ones that are against us. That is encouraging. So there's some things that when we read the Word of God and we get to start over and we get to to have this New Year's resolution where we can get physically fit, maybe start a new diet or go to the gym, hire a personal trainer, or to get spiritually fit, to start that bread reading program again. Maybe you've failed many times at this, and you're like, Lord, I want this to be the year. I remember the first time that I read the Bible all the way through, I think the first 3 years, I bombed. I did not make it through the probably Numbers or Deuteronomy. I'm like, oh, this is not easy. But you know what? The not give up mindset was, I want to finish this thing. And that's a good New Year's resolution to have, is to start out the new year getting in and reading your Bible. And there is no regrets for that. I want to speak a little bit about being physically fit. The diet industry is very lucrative. It's a $60 billion industry in 2015 alone, and it just keeps on growing. I don't know if you watch any of the commercials that come up on TV in the month of December, I believe even before December. They're not waiting to January 1st to get all these Nutrisystem and all these other diet programs out and all these other Planet Fitness and join the membership and all this stuff to try to get you to be physically fit. And diets are a good thing, I guess. It's all in your mindset. It's all how you look at the word diet. Some people look at the word diet and the word says die with a cross at the end. That means that's the death of me. The depth of my cravings and what I really like to eat. Here are some of the top diets for last year. The Atkins diet, which is a low-carb diet, which we all know well. Some of these you may have heard and some of you may not have heard. One is the Zone diet. It's balancing a percentage of your intake of carbs, fats, and proteins for each meal. A very popular one last year was this ketogenic diet. Has anybody ever heard of that one? I thought that one was pretty good. I started looking at some of the testimonials online of this ketogenic diet and people that are affected by this. And It's reducing carb intake and increasing healthy fats. Another diet is a vegetarian diet, and Allie tried this for a few weeks. She wants me to shut up, but I'm not going to shut up. She is a great cook, and if anybody was there Sunday night, she made the best cheesecake and the best apple pie I've ever had in my life. And I know a few years ago on New Year's Eve, we took the church van and went to the Cheesecake Factory, picked up Sister Davis. I think it was her first year. They moved to Wheaton. Tell you what, I have no desire to go back to the Cheesecake Factory. If you've never ever had one of Allie's cheesecakes, she'll make one for you if you ask her, but they are awesome. And some of the things that she can make with sweet potato and these black bean veggie burgers, those things are incredible. I never thought I would like that stuff, but I walked past the stove. I'm like, man, that was good. I wanted it for seconds. So I embarrassed her, but I kind of needed to brag on her a little bit. That's right. Sister Davis made some incredible salads. I want to just put a plug in for that. That's why Brother Davis is so fit, looks so good right now at his age. Another popular diet is a vegan, not eating anything animal-based. Weight Watchers, and I looked this up, is focuses on losing weight through diet, exercise, and a support system. This lady from the 60s started this, and she didn't want to do this alone, so they had the support system. And I think that is pretty encouraging. You need to be encouraged because you start out January 1st, and about the 21st of January, you're like, man, This diet thing is pretty rough, you know. I'm kind of craving that cheesecake I had on the 31st of December, you know. But you have a support system, and that's pretty neat. Another familiar one is a South Beach diet. There's a raw food and Mediterranean diet as well. And there's something that I looked up a few years ago, and has anybody ever heard of the Raw Bros? They are on YouTube, and this is something this is just useless knowledge that I'm sharing with you guys are my family. But there's these brothers that eat, they went for a long period of time with eating nothing but raw fruits and vegetables. And what was neat was their complexion on their face was incredible, their skin tone and everything. I'll be honest with you, that'd be very hard to do. It takes a lot of discipline to do something like that, I think, after those healthy habits that we've acquired over the years. I looked up also on the global health club industry. The dieting industry was $60 billion. The global health club industry is $75 billion. That is insane. To try to get somebody to become a personal, hire a personal trainer, they get $40 to $60 an hour. And some people, depending on their and how booked they are, you may only get a half hour of training on something like that. But that is an amazing lucrative business to be in right now, especially in January. Let's see. Another New Year's resolution for many in 2018 is to get out of debt. To have an attack to pay off debt, credit cards, and to experience a financial freedom. I think this is a great thing, and it's something that we're going to start to do in the next few weeks here at church. We're going to have Financial Peace University. I've been to another church a few years ago, and I took this course. But you know what? I'm looking forward to being and sitting in and taking it again, because there's a lot of good things to kind of get brushed up on, and I believe the things that we could do if we were able to pay off some debt to give us freedom to do other things. There's some things that I would love to, like some of the youth have gone over in the past few years, is go on a missions trip. Can you imagine paying off, if somebody's got a credit card debt, or maybe you have a vehicle payment, be able to kind of snowball some debt, or maybe a medical bill or something, and say, I get rid of that, I'm going to save up, and I want to go on a missions trip. That'd be encouraging. That'd be a good motivation to take a class like this. This is a good outreach tool. When I went to this church to take this Financial Peace University, there were people that never walked through their church door until they knew that they were hosting a Financial Peace University. So this is a great time for us as a church to invite somebody to our church to come to one of these things. I've talked to family members about this, and they've changed their habits as far as spending, and they've benefited from it. But to have this in Sandwich, I don't know any church around here that is doing one of these. So social media is a great tool to advertise and word of mouth, and I'm encouraged to see some people, Brother Dean. Okay, then that's something that we could... right, and WBGL, the local Christian radio station, they actually have a website where people get on, and I believe we can put that on their calendar, right? So that's a great thing that we can talk about. Chrissy, do you have something to say? Okay. So I'm that's encouraging to get one visitor. Brother and Sister Woods packed the van out tonight. 16 in the van. That is awesome. I told them there was a few years ago, we went to Wildwood South, and we would pack up that van with just going there in that one stop. And I know, Christy, you ran the van for a while, and Brother Wallace and Brother Joel Paris, we all had our rounds there. But now that's more of a senior community. I think you got to be 55 and older to even buy a place there right now. So, but this is encouraging. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing in our church and how each of us have a role to play. And it's so awesome that whether you're a greeter or whether you're an usher or whether you're down there working in the Sunday school department or assisting in Sunday school or just a smiling face like Sister Kellen, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we just need that. We need that little spiritual pat on the back and encouragement. And I'm so thankful for the church body. And where else are you going to get that than coming through these doors? Let's see. This on Forbes.com, there are over 2,000 references regarding money in the Bible. And some of the sites I looked up, there's about 2,350 references, biblical references towards finances. That's a lot. So that should be a motivation for us to come here and to look forward to taking these classes, whether we can afford, it's a great investment. I know it seems like a lot of money to buy this, but I believe it's a great investment. You might be able to even buy a secondhand set of materials something like that is right here. This is Sister Christie's, and it'll be, I believe, at the end of the month we are going to start that. Has anybody ever heard of the 2190 rule? The 2190 rule says it takes 21 days to create a habit and 90 days to create a lifestyle. You'll need motivation until a habit is formed. After that, the routine will take care of itself. In Daniel 6, 2 and 3, it says, and this is in the New Living Translation version, it says, the king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon provided himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers because the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Daniel got promoted, but it wasn't without some envy and it wasn't without some reviling. We heard that there were some people talking behind his back. The other guys that also received promotion, they wanted to bump him. There was three that got promoted, but the other two they didn't like. There was some little envy going on there. Reviling, there was some verbal abuse. Whether it was verbal abuse, whether he heard it or whether it was behind her back, there was some stuff going on that threatened him. We could all agree to that. Daniel got promoted, but it wasn't without some reviling and behind the scenes. The others were resentful of the advantage Daniel had over them. The only thing that they could get on him is that he was a praying and he was a God-fearing man. Can you agree to that? I mean, what else could they get him on? He had a habit of praying, but what was to their disadvantage was Daniel's advantage because he developed a lifestyle. He developed a habit. He had this 21-day thing that he had down, and it developed into this habit and developed into a lifestyle to where it just became second nature to him. This thing where he would begin to pray in the morning, and he would pray at noon time, and he would pray in the evening. it was something that it was second nature to him, but other people took notice, and their envy and their reviling was to their disadvantage, but it was to Daniel's advantage, and it saved his life. But it was to the detriment of the enemy. I've seen a lot of success quotes online. I don't know about you, but Pinterest is a popular site that I get on it quite often. And one of the success quotes that really got my attention in the last year says, if you want to be successful, you have to be willing to disappear for a while. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. If we want to be successful in anything in our life, if you want a promotion and you need to advance in education, or if you just want to be alone in your Bible reading, in devotion, in prayer. Daniel learned to get alone for a while. It was just him and God. He shut the door, but he opened the windows towards heaven. In Matthew 6:6, it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. He doesn't just see it in secret, but he is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I believe Daniel had a prayer habit that went a little past this 90-day. He had this 2190 thing down. I believe we could look back and say he was the pioneer. He's the one that of the source to where Pinterest got that from. In chapter 10, just a few chapters later, he was the one where we get the Daniel fast that a lot of people use today. And a lot of people, when they start to consecrate themselves and start their New Year's resolutions, I was on Facebook today, and there's some people who are already checking off for the month of January. They're going on a media fast. They're going on a social media fast. They're not going to watch TV. They're not going to turn their radio on. They're just going to consecrate themselves to prayer and fasting, which I think is a great thing. I believe you're not going to have any regrets. You're not going to miss much. I believe you're not going to miss out on anything when it comes to if you give God first and you get into reading, listening to the Word of God, first thing in the morning before you go to bed tonight, whatever is comfortable for you. I kind of like reading before I go to bed at night. I'm glad in the Bible it says evening and the morning were the first day. So I enjoy kind of reading at night. Some people like getting up in the morning. It's kind of hard for me to open my eyes wide open in the morning. Maybe I need to do that second cup of coffee, but that first cup of coffee kicks in about halfway to work. By then, it's kind of hard to read and drive at the same time. This is kind of dangerous too, but in Psalm 91, 1 and 4 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Daniel found the secret place. He found a place of shelter. And it was a place where the enemy wanted to put him in a place and lock him up and get rid of him for good. But Daniel was used to being alone. He was used to having some quiet time. And what they thought they had on Daniel was a place where he was in a place of safety. He was underneath the shadow of the Almighty. And then in verse 4 it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I am so thankful for the Word of God. When we think the enemy has us and he's got us cornered, and there's times when he wants to convince us that, you know what, I threw the stone right over the top of you. You're done. You've had it. No way. It is just the beginning. I am not going anywhere. I'm just underneath the shadow of the Almighty. When you develop a lifestyle of prayer and the people outside of your prayer closet begin to pray, not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, begin to pray on you and your family, and they think you're gone and out of the picture, it's not, oh no, I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. I love how that spirit of intercession hit the king. He couldn't sleep that night. He gave up his rituals, his entertainment for that night. If it was a modern day king, he would turn the TV off. He couldn't get any sleep. He was in the gap and he was praying to the God of Daniel. He didn't feel easy about it. But in the morning, it was in that darkest hour when it seems bleak. It was in that midnight hour when the king that Daniel served couldn't sleep at night. He maintained hope. He stood in the gap and prayed. And he was hopeful that when he removed that stone, that he would find Daniel. Daniel, are you down here? Did your God save you from those lions? He goes, yes, my Lord the King, he did. So what was to Daniel's advantage was to our adversary's disadvantage. In Psalm 82:4 says that God rescues the poor and the helpless and delivers them from the grasp of evil people. In Psalms 103:6, it says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I'm so thankful for the word of God. You feel like you may be oppressed. You feel like you may be cast down, but you are not destroyed. You maybe feel like you've hit rock bottom, but you fell into the hands of the everlasting God. And I'm so thankful for that. I believe there are some here tonight. You need some encouragement. And I hope that you will have some here. You're familiar with the word of God. You're familiar with his presence. But you just need something a little more. Hey, Brother Ryan, can you put that picture up there? I gave Brother Ryan a picture, and this is regarding something that I was praying last week. I was praying for my kids. I was fervently praying. Do you ever have those times in prayer where you have those unforgettable moments in prayer where you pray and you've left nothing? You've prayed and you give it everything that you've had. You don't know how to pray any harder that you've prayed. You've prayed with a clear conscience and a pure heart, and you've given everything you've had before the Lord. Lord, I don't know how I could possibly pray any harder or give any more of myself to you in fervency. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. As I was wiping my tears from my face, this is the first thing that I saw before I even put my head up. Somebody's phone's going off. It's a little awkward, but it has happened. It's not the first time it's ever happened for me. When I looked at that, I don't know about you, but God speaks to us in all different ways. And he spoke to me and says, you know what? I know who you're praying for, and I've heard your prayers. I'm so thankful for God that when we don't just pray, we're not praying to a God that doesn't have a pulse, that doesn't have ears, that doesn't have eyes. He's a God who sees and he's a God who hears. He's a God full of emotion. He's a compassionate and passionate God. He is moved with compassion. In Psalm 66:19, it says, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. The title of that book was called Fresh Faith. And there was a scripture the Lord was turning my attention to the past few days. It's in 2 Kings 6, verses 14 through 17. It says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and there came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and had gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, how shall we do? What are we going to do next? What are we going to do now? Look at all these horses and chariots. Look at this attack that looks imminent in my life. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, there is more for you than against you. God is fighting. I believe he wants to open somebody's eyes here this year, maybe even here tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord. I believe, Lord, that there are times when we all face discouragement, Lord. And, Lord, we need to be spiritually encouraged, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we felt your presence in your house, Lord. Lord, we know, we're familiar with the Word of God, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, but you said, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that there's going to be ones that are going to dream dreams, Lord. They're going to see visions, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes, Lord, of your people, Lord, here tonight in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, they need to see something from you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Not only are you too powerful for the enemy, but there is more fighting for you tonight than you can even imagine. That is against you. He wants to for you to see some things differently this year. He wants to give you a fresh outlook on things. He wants you, there's nothing wrong, and I want to encourage everyone here tonight to if you want to be physically fit, go for it. If you want to be financially fit, go for it. But make God your number one priority. God, I want to put you first. I want to put you first. The first thing that I wake up in the morning, I want to think about you. And I want to get into your word. I want to pray before you. Before I go to bed at night, I want to pray before you. Lord, I want to be physically fit because I want to take care of this vessel. This vessel is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want it to last as long as it can. And I want to have as much energy as I can before you, Lord, to give you everything I got, to serve you with everything that I have. In Jesus' name. What I want to talk to you tonight is to start a prayer journal. Just to take 2018 and start a prayer journal. The first thing you could do in a prayer journal is to write down prayer requests throughout the year of 2018. Pray. Have a prayer journal. Write down your prayer requests, but write down the answers. If you could take a section, anybody here tonight interested in anything like this, first person that raises their hand can have this tonight. Sister Chrissy, this is yours. And I want to encourage anyone to go to the store. It's very inexpensive. I wanted to get some for everybody in the church, but I just cannot get that many. There was like three or four at one store, two or three, and some were some really oddball colors. That would be. There are some men here that probably won't want to see a pink or a fuchsia-colored little notepad, but get a journal. It's very inexpensive, but I believe it is something that we can do. App Store. I looked on the App Store. There, if you look up prayer journal, you could download a prayer journal app. A lot of times we're on the go. We live in a paperless society. Grant, start a prayer journal. Start a prayer journal with your prayer request. Put some goals in there. In the beginning, put some goals. Put your prayer request in there and make a section. Write down a section halfway through. The prayers that God has answered for me in 2018. Maybe you can encourage yourself by writing some things down that God has answered for you in this last year. It'd be a great thing. He wants you to thrive and have a better relationship with him than ever before. Let 2018 be a time when we consecrate ourselves to him, when we can put our past behind us. Let's put 2017 behind us. Let's put all those unresolved resolutions, those ones that we never really aced or never got a hold of. We get to start over. It's a refresh button right now. I'm about to the end of the lesson for tonight. Is anybody here tonight have a testimony that they would like to share where you prayed and God answered a prayer in the past year? This would be encouragement. And this time next year, when you get your prayer journal, whether it be on your phone, on an app on your phone, or if you have an Android, I believe they have those as well. Like Sister Christy has that little notepad. I believe this time next year, we can just have a night of just testimonies. That would be encouraging. Where we can be encouraged and lift up by each other by the prayers that God has answered. And we can walk out of here confidently. Sister Christy, did you have, or was it Rose? this is something that we've done us not too many years ago. I remember it was about 3 years ago we did this where we would write down a name of an individual through the whole Sunday school department, and they were passed out and pictures. So this is something great that we get to do. This is what we need. We need this kind of camaraderie here tonight and encouragement. So in confirmation, I had no idea that this is on her heart and her mind. Does anybody else have a testimony that they can share where God answered a prayer in this last year? Or maybe you just want to share something. Maybe you never shared with anybody before that you would like to encourage, Sister Christy. Thank you for sharing that. You know what? How about if we could stand at this time? Maybe after we get done praying and we close out, maybe Sister Rose can share some names. She knows they know the names of everybody. It takes a while to kind of get used to the names. I believe we're going to see some faces here tonight. They're going to come back weekly. I want you to pray for Brother and Sister Woods, because they have a burden for children. I believe God's going to. We're going to see revival in our church. I believe youth ministry or children's ministry is going to have a great deal to do with that. I believe that some of us have dealt with some hard times last year, and you dealt with hurt and pain. But in 2008, the hurt and pain and the tests and trials that you experienced in 2017 and 2018, right here tonight and throughout this year, we're going to give God the glory for that in Jesus' name. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Lord, I thank you for every test and trial. I thank you, Lord, for every heartache and pain. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, you said, Lord, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, it seemed dark, Lord, in its darkest hours before the sun came up. In Jesus' name, Lord. But, Lord, the sun is coming up. 2018 is rising up, and you're rising up your people. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, where I believe, Lord, you're going to show us and reveal to us a revival in this church like we have never seen before. Lord, may we be encouraged in ourselves. May we encourage each other, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may this be the year where we see miracles, signs, and wonders like we have never seen before, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, may there be a spirit of expectation, Lord, when we walk into your house, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Before we even walk up the stairs into this church building, Lord, may we expect the miraculous in Jesus' name, Lord. May we expect people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. May we expect those, Lord, with physical needs, Lord, to be healed. May we expect those, Lord, with spiritual needs, Lord, to get a spiritual touch from you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you are a God of favor, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You are a God of promise. Lord, you said every word, this is what he told me, and literally it was last Friday, I was driving, I was picking up one of my kids, and I'll never forget it. Every word that God said is true and will come to pass. whatever he said he would do, he will do. There is no doubt. There is no question. You can take that to the bank, and I want you to be encouraged every time you walk into the house of the Lord. And we need to encourage each other. If God promised it to you, it will happen. In Jesus' name, I believe God's going to fulfill some promises that haven't been fulfilled yet this year in Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you all for coming here tonight. You were dismissed, and don't forget to talk to Rose and Matt and get some names there. If you're not able to, I would do that, and then we're going to look into getting some pictures taken from each of the individuals, and so they can be familiar. Maybe you could put them on your refrigerator or put them in your Bible to pray for them throughout this year in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.